My name is Marco Spronk, better known as Future Noise in the hardstyle world. Having an exclusive is one of the peak moments in your hardstyle career. From the day that I started, exclusive always has been like the moment that you can say you achieved something in hardstyle, so to say. So that means that you have enough relevance in the scene that you can get this event. So exclusive is a very important milestone, I guess, for every hardstyle artist, because it just shows to the world that you mean something in the world of hardstyle. Exclusive is definitely a moment for me that I realized that it was important to follow my own dreams and goals, because before that I was always just focused on the industry itself, like trying to take part of the industry, while Silverbullet, the album that I made for Exclusive originally, was my moment that I realized like I have to follow my own dreams in hardstyle to be able to still enjoy this whole journey that I was on. Because before that I had a really nice breakthrough with Black Metal Society and Pursuit of Thunder, but I did realize that I was following like my own recipe, my own way of doing stuff, and that worked for that time in the industry. But I was like, well, creatively I want to get better at more stuff, like be more involved in the visual experience, be more involved in the songwriting, and all these aspects were simply something that I didn't put a lot of effort in before that. And Silverbullet was the first project where I really wanted to have like this complete world created around Future Noise, rather than just some songs. And then you start thinking about, oh, what does these songs maybe mean? And then you think about like what artwork maybe should fit. Now it was like a complete package. So you have like a theme where you start off with a concept, and then you build a whole world around it, a musical and visual idea.
I'm Tom de Recht. I'm an art director and graphic designer. I live in Amsterdam. All right, so Marco contacted me late 2018, I think, if I'm right, for the collaboration on his upcoming album, Silverbullet. So we started working together after having a long chat, really. I really like Marco in a sense that he is very open to a designer's approach. He really doesn't want to get too involved in the concepts. He just gives you an idea of, you know, what the track is about, what he would like to bring across. But he really trusts you as a designer to, you know, create your own vision around that. When I got contacted, I was also quite surprised, because, you know, there's a very well-known aesthetic surrounding that genre of music. And that didn't necessarily fit my style of design. That was something that I was quite surprised about, but also thought, okay, you know, here's a guy that wants to do something really different. And that's really what spoke to me, because I really like people that kind of step out of that status quo and are like, hey, listen, if this is what everybody's doing, then I'm gonna go 180, you know?
Yeah, so it's like the general story is about self-reflection, essentially. So it's about like finding the silver bullet that's like a problem, you know, that I had, and solving that, finding that silver bullet was how the album came about. Like self-reflecting about like, oh, what kind of stuff do I like? What kind of stuff do I dislike about the current industry or the scene? And try to focus on these things and make them better for myself. That's essentially where the album came from. And then obviously I tried to abstract it out more into a more of a personal approach that a lot of more people can connect with. So all the songs are like based on that emotion that I got out of it, and then wrote songs about the stuff that I experienced, but made them more abstract so a lot more people could get involved into the emotion and the sound of it. I finished Silverbullet initially just before the pandemic hit. I was like working on the mixdowns and the mastering just when everything closed down. So when I finished Silverbullet, it was hard. Like I didn't know what to expect and where to go, because normally I always reflect after a project, like, oh, what can I do better and what works really well, so to say, for the people, and what works really well for me. But I didn't really have that feedback in that situation, because it's always really nice, I think, if you're in a live environment, that new people hear your music. And that feedback is also something that inspires me sometimes. My most productive days actually is the Sunday after shows. Like when I get home from shows, I in the evenings, I start playing the piano with an idea that I have in mind because of the energy of the people. So yeah, after all that happened, I really was kind of like in a void, so to say, stuck thinking about like, what should I do next? And then I made up that Electronic Heartbreak project, which was more songwriting focused because that was something I wanted to get better at. And yeah, it was a really nice experience for me to be able to work on tracks that weren't necessarily built for just the dance floor. Yeah, but after finishing that project and everything started slowly opening up again, I really got the energy back to focus more on the dance floor stuff that I'm more known for, so to say. But still with the depth and the songwriting that I learned in that period. So I feel like I finally reached like a Future Noise 2.0 situation here, where I combine the knowledge that I found in the last 2 years, 2.5 years, where I studied songwriting, got more into the classical music theory and all that kind of stuff, and now I can apply that in the original Future Noise sound that I used before the Silver Bullet album.
Yeah, so that was a great project. Good working together, a lot of creative freedom, and so I was really excited to hear from Marco again to work on new direction for his upcoming EP and for the single An Idea Never Dies.
Well, the idea for An Idea Never Dies was made of the fact that after these 2 years, I realized that the creative process, the thing that I enjoy the most, making experiences, making stuff, making visual stuff, making music, of course, is something that's kind of like my life motto. So I was like, well, the thing is, creativity always relies on an idea, on a vision. So I was like, well, my vision for my career is that I just have to be able to create new stuff. Even if it's worse or even if it's better than my old stuff, it's always about creation. Yeah, every time I woke up there, I'm a little bit nervous playing that for the first time. But then at Capitol, I saw the reaction for the first time with a lot of people. And it was really an amazing reaction for the first time playing a new song. Like normally, a lot of people just stand still and take it in and listen to it. Well, at this time, everyone was like really dancing to it already. And that was, yeah, it was really good. So that really added to my confidence for the coming exclusive, so to say. Capitol! I think like the idea that we had in 2020 when Silver Bullet was there, and now make an update out of it, it was like that idea just, you know, it didn't die. And that was kind of like the base where I found the hook for. And then I rephrased it and was inspired by more of like my whole career saying like, oh, I started Future Noise with this idea of hardstyle with a little bit more depth, with a little bit more experience, so to say. And that idea is still going on until this day, even with this exclusive being 2 years later. So that's kind of like where the track was built around.
So I work in advertising, so there's a lot of concepting, a lot of brainstorming, a lot of mind mapping. And let me tell you, ideas die. If it's by a client's hand, by your own hand. But I think what Marco means by it, or what at least my interpretation eventually was, is that before a idea comes to fruition, there's a lot of testing, a lot of, you know, finding the right part of the idea that actually works and that also resonates with people, right? So I thought this testing phase was something that I wanted to build the cover around, you know, testing the idea.
The hook of the track is also like one of the things that I find important is to stay really, really humble in all this. And I really try to. And the idea of the chorus was like flying over oceans, all these things to see, but every day I'm wondering why, but an idea never dies. So it's like the realization of having this success and then, but it all comes down to the creation, why I have all this success. And I gave that idea to Thomas, my artwork guy, and he was like, well, a lot of people obviously have these dreams and these ideas to do something special.
So we ended on an explosion with a character or person flying through the air. Not dead, as you can see, he's still alive. And yeah, it's kind of like, you know, it gives the impression of like a scientist or someone that like worked on something, tested something, it exploded, but you know, he's still there, he keeps it going. So the idea never dies is in that sense, you know, the idea, the winning idea after a series of tests, and the cover is a visualization of a test.
Jazeker.
What I like to do is be kind of like the creative director in that sense. So I like to be like involved in thinking about what the creation should be. Like, what should it be about? What should be the theme? What should be the idea of the clip in general? And then I sit down with all the people, try to work that idea, put it on paper, and try to get my thoughts and my personal emotions out there in the idea. And then these guys pick up on my idea and hopefully make something amazing out of it. So I'm really involved in the first bit of the process, so the creation process. And then I give that idea to the people that work, that are really good in their field, and then they can make something nice out of my vision, so to say.
Die drone stijgt dan op, zeg maar, boven jou. En dan ben je eigenlijk al heel snel.
Dus jij loopt in met de camera en dan komt jouw drone er nog overheen? Zodat hij een soort van eruit nog overheen vliegt dan?
Ja.
Yeah. We were just talking about the first few shots that we're gonna do with the drones. Yeah, we've got like a really big drone with some lights underneath it. And then Joep's gonna fly with his drone above that. So we have like a drone that is like a light beam that's shooting on me, and you can really see that from like even higher up. So it really gives like a huge intense feeling, especially with just one single light beam that's on me. So you get this really dark kind of mysterious emotion to it. So hopefully that will look very good. I haven't seen it yet, so I'm really curious. Really looking forward how the drone works, because one of the things that kind of makes this clip special, probably. We're waiting because apparently a smoke machine is very difficult outside. As expected. Well, fortunately though, the wind's not too bad. Like it's a couple of kilometers, so we might be able to sort it out. But yeah, otherwise, no smoke machine.
Luckily, there's also a big drone with 8 props.
And there's a big drone who's probably just gonna blow it away. I mean, who knows?
Marco, loop maar! As I walk, I'm overthinking. Is it too much to ask? This dream is just a feeling. Will a brighter future last? Now I'm flying over oceans. All these things to see. And every day I'm wondering why. But a night it never dies. Burns.
I don't want to say too much because I really want people to for themselves and have an opinion. Statues is about, for me, is about a challenge. And asking questions about the status quo. Essentially what it comes down to. And what the songs are about. Is that something for you? Four or five months I've been busy. New music for this exclusive. I really plan. We got a plan set up for the whole. Actually, an exclusive obviously is a very important part for that. And yeah, now I really feel ready. We've got like a lot of new content made, but also like a lot of new cool stuff that wasn't. Because we made almost 50 gigabytes of visuals for the first show in 2020. And we're now even adding more content for the new music to that. So that it's all like still new for a lot of people. So it's really cool. Now it feels like an evolution of what it was 2 years ago, yet it still feels like it was how it was meant to be, so to say. So I look forward to exclusive in a way that I am finally able to showcase all the stuff that I'm working on, like the whole show, especially for the statues, all the cool visuals that we made. So I'm really looking forward to showing that for the very first time there. And that's one of the things that excite me the most, actually. I mean, yes, having the exclusive is amazing, but being able to make a new experience for the people, that's something that really, you know, gets my up, gets right about. That's what I look forward to most. Oh, I know people expect me to also play some older tracks and stuff like that from Future Noise, and that's really cool. But I really look forward more to showing new stuff that I made instead of looking back on my career.
Hello guys, my name is Marco Spronk, aka Future Noise. This last few weeks I've been finishing some music, and the last few days I've been just finishing all the bits and set lists and pieces for the show. So it's not been super busy, luckily, but it's still stressful enough that it's not like I'm feeling like a day off or something, you know? I kind of learned along the way that at certain points you just have to say to yourself, this is done. Because, yeah, obviously if I still listen back to, let's say, An ID Never Dies, I still think like, oh, this kind of like thing in the mix needs to be better, or maybe I can fix this sound to be a little bit more interesting. But at some point you need to learn to say to yourself, guys, it's enough, let's move forward. And especially for a control freak like me, it's hard to do that, but it's something you can learn, I feel. And I'm starting to get better at it, which I'm happy about, because it's not really natural to stress so much about something you made while a lot of people around you are already really happy with the result, while you're still stressing so hard to make it perfect. While perfection doesn't exist, especially not for music, because it's such a personal thing, a personal emotion. So if I make a mix or a song or a harmony or whatever, and I think it's really good, then someone else might even think it's really bad. While at the same time, I
maybe finish the song and I hear like all these kind of issues with it while someone else enjoys these issues, you know? It's hard to say where it comes from, but yeah, in general, that's what I feel that makes an artist, that he makes these choices and then the end product is based around his faults, but also his good sides. And then it's for the people to judge what they think about it.
Darkness all around me, contemplates my past. Bursting lights around me, will a brighter future last? Now I'm flying over oceans, all these things to see. And every day I'm wondering why.
The response on the video was really good. I was really happy to see all the new reactions on the music, especially since it's been a while since I released some music, and you know, it's a special song about the road towards his exclusive. And in overall, I only seen like really positive comments online. And I mean, I don't really check all the sources and all the websites, so maybe there's some kind of like dark place where people are like hating on all my stuff. But in general, no, it's I'm joking. But in general, it's been really good. All these things to see, and every day I'm wondering why. But a night here never dies. Well, having your exclusive sold out is amazing, especially since nowadays not everything is just always selling out all the time. So it's really a big thing for me that a lot of people are excited to go to the event and see what I made and all the stuff that I made before, and that's something, yeah, very humbling and very great. For the preparation of the first set, I only looked at my older discography because that set's about more like where I came from, and then the second set is more like based on the show that I would want to give right now to the people, like what's my view on hardstyle right now. So I selected these tracks to either fit in the first set, which is more like the tracks that made me, so to say, and then the tracks that I really enjoy right now and playing out is in the second set, which is the Statue set, which is an evolution of my old Silver Bullet set, including the new music that I made after Silver Bullet. Well, for the visuals, I always drop my idea to Thomas, and Thomas makes the artwork and the style of the artwork, and then for Silver Bullet and Statues as well, the visuals are then and stuff like that. So the three of them sat down and decided like how the visuals should be like, and then they produced the visuals and they sent the visuals to me, and then I can give feedback on I want this different, or it should be more towards this because that's what I feel like the concept should be like. But I also give them a lot of creative freedom to do their own thing, and I feel like that creativity also makes them bloom, because then they can produce something they really enjoy themselves, and I feel like that positive energy always gives out a better end product.
My name's Madeline. I'm the manager of Margo, aka Future Noise. What I love about him is he really takes, for example, the process of an EP, he really takes it step by step. And for example, a lot of artists just go into their studio and start creating music, and then from there comes an idea, and then you have like a whole concept, and you work from there. With Margo, it goes like way, yeah, there's like a few steps before that. So I think like when I started working with him, we were working on the Electronic Heartbreak EP, but once that was finished, he already said like, okay, I have an idea, and then he was starting like telling me a story about just some things that he had in mind, like some things that are happening in the world or some things that are happening in his world that he wants to, that's like the input for the EP. So we created like a file. It's called like hersenspinsels in Dutch. Like all the ideas that he had and the things that we talked about like during our calls, I was like actively writing and everything, like putting it in there just to make sure that we had all the ideas. And then from there, he goes into the studio. He has a few writers that he works with a lot. So for example, Mark Vane, who also co-wrote Idea Never Dies. And then he just tells Mark the whole story. Like, okay, so this is the story. And then from there, they're gonna write a lyric that is in line with that. And then from there, he creates like the song. And it's like, it's so well thought of and the depth that's in there, that's amazing. And that's only the music part. You know, from there, we started talking about the live shows that were slowly like coming up again and the whole summer that's coming. And of course, Exclusive, which like the big focus, like, okay, that's coming. And how are we going to implement all of these things in like one big story? And I think that's something that's so special and really great about Marco. Yeah.
And then when I receive all these visuals, they are just bland video files that are still need to be stacked onto each other live by a VJ. So I receive all these bland visuals per track, or sometimes for the whole show, like logos and stuff like that. And then the VJ is gonna make a selection which fits best for which track. So the VJ has a big list of movie files he can use, and then he mixes them live with a, yeah, kind of like a mixer, like a DJ. He puts them on the screen. So there's a little bit of spontaneity to the show. So not every show is the same, because every visual is going to be mixed in differently, or you're going to use different logos or different overlays, maybe even different backgrounds. And that creates, I feel like, a more dynamic show. And at the same time, links really well with the DJ job as well, because a DJ always feels the crowd, or should feel the crowd in my opinion, and then plays the right tracks. So then if the DJ does that, then the VJ can jump in and show the visual aspect of that, and then you can create like a nice synergy between the sound aspect and the visual aspect, and you can really make like an audio-visual spectacle out of it instead of just a DJ set with some pre-programmed visuals. And that's kind of like the way I like to work. So I feel like the engagement with the crowd is what makes a DJ, because he necessarily doesn't should engage with like 1, 2, 3 jump in my opinion, but he should engage like what's the vibe and what's the feel that people want right now for the music, and then pick the right tunes. Because a lot of DJs just think like, oh, we start out soft and then build it up into harder and louder, and then at the end we climax with the loudest song there is, and that's our ending. But I always feel like a DJ set should be like more of an adventure, like going back and forth, because contrast also creates nice emotions. Because if you play a really raw, dark track, and after that something that really euphoric or something that really touches you, it's a lot more powerful than just playing, let's say, all euphoric songs or all just hard songs. So that contrast is something that I really believe in, and I like to do that live. So I feel like, oh, I should really do something more euphoric right now, and I want to have that opportunity as well while I'm playing my sets. For example, the first time I really had this feeling when I was at a techno club in Amsterdam, I believe, when I was, I think, 19 years old or something. This guy played a really rough techno set, but somewhere after like an hour and a half, and he had like a 3-hour set, and he just put in a really big, super euphoric, well-known classic just after like an hour and a half of raw, you know, raw dancing, so to say. And that just kicked in so hard that there's a moment that I would never forget as a DJ, being like, oh, this is really what DJing should be like. Not thinking like, I should only play the roughest tunes, or I should only play very euphoric tunes because that's who I am. No, you should create that experience, that contrast for the people, because that experience I had is something that I will always remember of that set. While if he just played rough tracks, I would probably just forget that set the next day. You know, I'm starting to get a little bit nervous or excited. I'm not sure what to feel about it. I mean, it's I'm always a bit nervous before shows when I need to play new music and stuff like that. But obviously this show is more special, so to say. So yeah, it's definitely playing up a little bit.
He's manageable, yeah. Yeah, but he's starting to get more nervous. And, you know, I feel the same. I feel it in my tummy a bit like, okay, it's coming, you know? And I wasn't even there from the start. Like, it was supposed to happen 2 years ago, and I wasn't working with him back then. And now, like, after working with him for a year, it's so amazing that this is finally happening. And, like, if I already have that feeling, how is it for him, you know?
For shows, I always keep in mind that I've got an inflammatory bowel disease, so I'm really, you know, into cooking healthy for myself. So for the show as well, I've tried to bring some healthy food with me, because when you are in the show, you normally get like deep fried food and all that kind of stuff, which is really nice, but not for me at a show. So I tried to bring some salad or something like that. And then, yeah, before the show, I just make sure I sleep well. And I think sleeping well is really underrated in general, because we are all party heads in Hardstyle. But at the same time, if you sleep really well throughout the weeks, I feel like creativity is just a lot easier at that point. So I would really recommend everyone, if you want to be productive and creative, try to sleep at least 8 hours a day, which is harder than it seems, obviously. But if you do that, I believe it can really help your creativity, and that's what I strive for as well.
Yeah, I would have expected maybe a bit more stress, but he's really relaxed. Yeah, he has it under control, which he likes. Yeah, and I like as well, because I love to have things under control. Like, overall, like, of course, Q-Dance does the whole organization, so that's something that I don't have to worry about. We're probably gonna do like a cool like signature session, or how are you gonna say, like, photo moment with fans, and that's gonna be earlier in the day. But also make sure that doesn't take up too much of his time, because I know that he needs his time before his set and just be backstage, be with his friends, for example, that may make him feel relaxed, or with his family, and just say hi to everybody and just, yeah, also get some time for himself, like go to his changing room and just be there and just chill.
I'm always happy with the support that I get from management, of course, which is very important for the job, bookings agency, which is very important for the job, but as well my family and friends, which really helped me out. And one of my best friends helps me out with a lot of photography, tour management as well. He joins me a lot of times, which is really nice. And then he helps me fill in the gaps that I leave behind, so to say, for this show as well. Like, let's say the guest list or stuff like that. And that's amazing. So that really helps me relieve some of that stress that you have for a show like this. And of course, there's my girlfriend, who always helps me out with, if I'm short on time, she just picks up as well the gaps of the private living, so to say. But yeah, in general, I'm always a little bit, you know, focused on myself. So I really try to do well for everyone. But in these moments, just before a show, I'm a little bit more turned into myself, just focused for the show or something like that. I'm a little bit less social than I would normally be, but it's just thinking about like how I should perform and how I really badly want to perform well or something like that. And that's something, how I am like before a show. So I walk into a show, I'm really focused, just talking, just all the stuff that's necessary. And then after the show, it's like a release of adrenaline, and then I'm like really, really super social again. It's a bit weird. But yeah, that's how I get around all these shows. My Saturday, I will probably just wake up, make breakfast, do my last preparations, check if all my USBs are in the bag and stuff like that. Then probably just have a shower, chill out for an hour, and then step into the car and go to the event. That's probably how my Saturday is going to be like. And at the event, I'll probably be backstage and on stage all day, because I've got to play my own sets and then probably join the other artists on stage as well for some songs. So I will probably just be running around backstage and trying to find some moments to chill, but at the same time as well, enjoy the event, obviously. Well, for all the people that are still going to watch the live stream of this show, I hope you enjoy it, and I really hope you can also make it to one of my shows, because I feel like a lot of people that are abroad or just simply can't find the time to see these shows are now watching it for home. But Yeah, I should definitely tell you, you should join one of these events because hardstyle in an environment life is so much better than sitting from home. But yeah, I don't want to make you feel bad, but definitely try to get a ticket, fly here or something, just experience it once in your life because it is something else.